everyone. I'm Jensine Bard, and welcome to Testimony, where truth is told, lives are changed, and hope is given. Revelation 12:11 tells us that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, a testimony of your story for His glory.
He is the great-grandson of slaves whose master would allow his parents to purchase the land he resides on today. It was not a gift. They worked hard to earn the right to be free. Slavery in our country was abolished. But are its people any freer then than they are today? And if not, why not? A devout member of the NAACP since the age of 8, my next guest would rise through the ranks to become its president for the Garland, Texas chapter, and espouse a racial injustice until one day he could no longer reconcile his faith with the culture of progressivism the NAACP apparently supports. Here to share his incredible journey, as filmed in the stunning documentary Runaway Slave, is Tea Party favorite and founder of the national movement One Nation Back to God and fellow with FreedomWorks Foundation in Washington, D.C., ordained Baptist minister, speaker, and activist, and star of the hit documentary Runaway Slave. Would you please welcome with me to testimony and honor indeed, Reverend C.L. Bryant. Reverend Bryant, welcome to Testimony.
Thank you so much for having me on this wonderful program. Glad to be with you.
Well, Reverend Bryant, I just have to tell you and all of our listeners that the documentary about your life, Runaway Slave, blew me away. Why are we not hearing about this in the liberal media, in black churches today? Talk about that.
Because it strays so far from the accepted truth of people who have been thoroughly co-opted in many ways by the progressive left. And there's an agenda, of course, in the progressive left to steer black Christians in general, away from the principles and precepts of our founding fathers and certainly Christianity. And it is evident. And that is one of the reasons why this film is not as well embraced nationally as some others may have been.
Well, in viewing the film, you talk about a couple of things right up front. One, you are an ordained Baptist minister. When you were speaking to your congregation, you talked about the abortion issue. They said, yes, Pastor, we understand that's not right. Then you brought up the issue of entitlements, and they went silent. And soon, you lost your church. Can you talk about that, and also your segue out of the NAACP, a little of your own story of faith and what you were doing now?
Yes, it is still somewhat stinging to speak of the church and the separation that came there. I had been with this particular church. I've pastored three churches across the country in 28 years of pastorate and 34 years of ministry. And I had been with this church for 9 years. We had just built a new facility, $1.5 million facility. The old church is what you're looking at in the film. And this fellow Obama runs for office, and I say to the church, just because he happens to have the same type of hue of skin color that we have does not mean necessarily that he has the same type of principles and core beliefs. And that is when their silence began, because basically they were seeing emotionally a person finally that looked like them. And that is really where we got off track. And I believe they got off track as far as that political ideology was concerned. And it was one that I had, a place where I had gotten in my own personal beliefs almost 23 years, over 23 years ago. I was president of the NAACP in Garland, Texas. And I was asked to speak at a pro-choice rally in Dallas County that was coming up in Dallas County at the time, and I refused to do that. It was a director from the home office that was in Baltimore then, Dr. Benjamin Hooks, who's gone on to be with the Lord, was director of the national director then. And I noticed that my star that was rising in the organization began to abruptly set. And I told my wife, Jane, I said, you know, they not only want to control the agenda, they want to control me and then use me to control a group of people. And as time went by, I could see, and as animosity grew toward me, I decided to leave the organization. And obviously they were then being co-opted by the progressive right and those who were not only against conservative values, but also against Christian ideals. And so that led me to seeking a different path.
Well, now, you are known as a Tea Party favorite because your faith obviously was now conflicting with the platform of the party that you once represented and that arguably most blacks are a part of today. That's the Democratic Party. 90% of black voters today will vote a straight party ticket. Now, can you talk a little bit about why they do that, and how can we break that mindset?
There has been a very successful effort, much more successful than conservatives or even Republicans have been, to co-opt the black pulpit. Now, one of them been saying this, in saying this, you may realize that I don't make a lot of friends in the black church community because of this, but it's no less true. The Democrat Party has been much more successful at co-opting the black pulpit and the black church by means of the black pulpit, through the black pulpit, than conservatives or Republicans have. And by doing that, they have also co-opted the black community. And they have been able to feed them or make them believe a certain line of rhetoric that simply is not true. If you were to ask the average black person in this country who started the Ku Klux Klan, for instance, or who kept in place Jim Crow laws, or who brought the first elected officials who were black into government, most black people would say that it was, on the last question, they would say it was Democrats. And on the first two questions, they'd say it was Republicans. And in any event, the answer would be absolutely false, and which tells us that there's a separation of historical fact that has escaped the black community through modern-day overseers like your Al Sharpens and your Jesse Jacksons, whose job it is in modern-day America to drive the mindset of those who are trapped in a particular system to the polls every 2 years to get their votes picked, whereas in times past, they would have driven them out to the cotton fields in order to pick cotton. They're no less enslaved in that system and in that mindset than they were 150 years ago, 200 years ago. And this is the idea behind runaway slave, is to liberate people from a certain mindset. And even though we don't sway the opinion either way, we just simply deliver facts in this film with Dr. Thomas Sowell and others, Glenn Beck, even Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, are in the film. We don't try and sway opinion. We just simply lay it out there as to what is factual. And you will note that in the movie, we say you can have your own opinion, but you can't create your own facts. And that's what we try to do with this film. And we have been very successful, I thank God for it, in bringing that about.
Well, it's a beautifully produced documentary by stellar directors, producers, and people with vision. As you said, Dr. Alveda King, Republican Alan West, Star Parker, Herman Cain, the deceased Andrew Breitbart, they all weigh in on this documentary that you lead. You actually go across the country interviewing the black community on a wide range of issues, and it's astounding to me what they don't know, Reverend Bryant. Has black history been hidden? And are black leaders in America today just as guilty as the Democratic Party they support?
Yes, in fact, they should be indicted in this way, is that they have been useful and willing pawns in keeping a certain community down, as is stated in Runaway Slave, the movie. The idea behind it is also this. It took courage to be a runaway slave. I have received all types of blues, to just use a word, for calling this movie Runaway Slave. Some have said it's insightful, insulting, what have you. But the idea behind it, for the record, is this. It took a lot of courage to be a runaway slave, to say no to the master's food, to say no to the master's shelter, and to say no to whatever handouts or trinkets the master would give you so that you would stay loyal to the plantation system, and then to run off towards something called freedom, something perhaps they had never known at all. And regardless of what it may have cost, regardless of the peril that they may have traveled through, the snakes, the bayous, the swamps, whatever it took to get to freedom, they would risk that in order to enjoy what our Creator has innately put inside of all of us. And so was the spirit of the pilgrims who came here from England. They left the tyranny of King Charles to sail the Atlantic. No guarantees that they'd ever see freedom or even experience what they were saying was religious freedom that they wanted. But yet they were willing to risk whatever perils. And so the bottom line and the silver cord that connects all of us as Americans is whether your ancestors came here on the Mayflower or seeking to escape tyranny of a king, or whether they came here in chains on a slave ship and then found themselves longing or even seeking to escape the tyranny of a plantation. That silver cord that binds all Americans is the thirst and the desire for freedom and liberty that was given to us by our Creator. And so all of us in America, in one way or another, every true American is in one way or another a runaway slave.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Reverend C.L. Bryant of the stunning documentary Runaway Slave. We will have more with Reverend Bryant next week on Testimony to talk about what it really means to be black and free in America and why that doesn't seem to be happening. Thank you, Reverend Bryant. We look forward to bringing you back next week on Testimony.
Thank you.
Testimony is a global broadcast made possible by the generous contributions of our valued partners at Jensine Bard Ministries and you, our listening audience. Together, we are reaching souls for Christ, one testimony at a time. If you would like information on how you can support this broadcast with your tax-deductible gift, please visit us at jensinebard.com. That's one word, JensineBard.com. And join the conversation at our Facebook page, Testimony with Jensine Bard. Thank you for listening, and please join us again for Testimony. Quote, I believe there is a wall that exists in America today with regards to race and politics. Many feel they cannot talk about race for fear of being labeled racist. We have also convinced ourselves that it is somehow not polite or proper to discuss politics. This idea is completely anathema to the spirit of America because we the people are the government. Ladies and gentlemen, back with us today for testimony in part two of our conversation is Reverend C. L. Bryant, star of the stunning documentary Runaway Slave. Reverend Bryant, welcome back to Testimony.
Thank you so much for having me again.
Well, I really appreciate it. It's an honor to have you. I want to finish the quote that you termed and you formulated. It says, "We must throw away our trepidations and discuss these ideas and issues openly, freely, and with civility if there is any hope of tearing down the wall that is separating us and having open and honest discussions on race and politics. Runaway slave can be a wrecking ball and apply a few hard hits." Reverend Bryant, I want to thank you for making this courageous documentary. It's beautifully done. You have interviewed people from across this land, Glenn Beck, Herman Cain, Alveda King. They're all weighing in on the deception and the hidden truth of what it really means to be free. Can you talk about where we are as a nation, as a black culture, and what your movie, Runaway Slave, is doing to change that?
As you stated in that quote, it is an attempt to have an honest discussion on race in this country. For too long, we have been very dishonest about what basically unites us, and have focused more so on what divides us. And hopefully we have created a vehicle that will at least help us change the direction on race in this country. And let me quickly say that it is a film that will make you laugh, it'll make you cry, but above all, it will make you think. It's not a talking head film. It is a film that is designed to prick the consciousness, and we hope that we have achieved that. Dr. King, in saying that the day would come, or he hoped, he had a dream that the day would come when we would be judged by the content of our character and not by the color of our skin, tells us that the character that he was talking about is the ability to contribute through our individual efforts. That is what causes us to contribute, is character. But when we isolate just color, then we rob ourselves of the contributions of character.
You know, it's amazing to me, in your documentary, you talk about the abolishment of slavery and who really was responsible for that. But then somehow the party of Republican, which was primarily black in its origin, switched to being Democratic. Can you talk about that and why?
Yes. There was a process that happened basically beginning with Franklin Roosevelt. When he established what was known as the Black Cabinet, his wife, Eleanor, who was a true humanitarian that we do point out in the film, did encourage her husband, President Roosevelt, to establish the Black Cabinet. Bethune and Horn were, in fact, a part of that first Black Cabinet. And then along comes Harry Truman, who brings about the GI Bill, and black soldiers returning from World War II, even though it did not create a huge middle class, it began creating a significant middle class. And so that's when the swing began. And then in 1964, 65, after the death of John Kennedy, Lyndon Johnson, and I might want to point out that we do show this in the movie, both of them were against Eisenhower's civil rights bill that was that he put on the table in 1957. Both Lyndon Johnson and John F. Kennedy voted against that bill and opposed it. However, after Kennedy's death in 1964, with the efforts of Dr. King that he had placed out in the country. Johnson was compelled to sign basically the same bill that President Eisenhower, a Republican, had put forth nearly 10 years earlier. And so those are the things that caused the black vote to significantly swing toward the Democrat Party. But when you examine the platform, the founding platform of the Republican Party, and you find that the first platform in the Republican Party was the freedom of man and the abolition of slavery. The first congressmen, the first representatives and senators were that were black in this country were elected as Republicans. And it's amazing how that particular history has been lost. If you look at modern history with the election of Carroll Moseley Braun from Illinois, Carroll Moseley Braun was the very first black senator ever elected to the Senate on the Democrat ticket. And you know the second one, his name is Barack Obama. Both of them are from Illinois. Most people are stunned when they understand that Democrats only elected their first two senators to the Senate in recent years, as much as 20 years ago. As little as 20 years ago.
Wow. You know, I'm reminded of a couple of scriptures. The Word talks about you're an ordained minister, you're a former president of a local chapter of the NAACP. You're not involved in either right now. You're a Tea Party proponent and a proponent for freedom for your culture and all cultures across this nation for freedom. And it is this: my people perish for lack of knowledge, number one. And number two, it is the love of money that is the root of all evil. My question to you, Reverend Bryant, black leaders, Democratic black leaders in our community today and across this nation, is there money to be made by the black poor in our nation, and are they being taken advantage of, and how?
Oh, yes. There's race baiting has always been a very profitable business. Any type of slavery in this country has always been a cash cow. My ministry now is One Nation Back to God. When I left my pulpit, traditional pulpit, I founded One Nation Back to God. We started it in front of the Washington Monument in 2010 before 40,000 people. It's a mini Billy Graham type crusade. When we show up in a city, it is one that does attract anywhere from 2,000 to 3,000 people would love to come to an area near you. And so the ministry now is coast to coast and worldwide. In fact, with my fellows at Freedom Work, 2 years ago almost now, we were in Israel, where we founded the first Tea Party in Israel. We call it kosher tea.
Wow.
And it is a ministry that when God allows one door to close, he opens many others that you couldn't possibly see. It was a work of faith, a step of faith for my wife and I to actually leave the comfort of the pulpit and people that we loved, and the security of being a pastor that was loved and beloved in my community, to start out on this trek that has caused many who knew us to actually treat us somewhat differently. And that still, as I said last time on your show, it still stings somewhat,
right.
But yet where God leads, he also makes provision.
Amen, Pastor, and I do applaud you for your courageous stepping out, and it just seems that it takes that kind of courage for any real change to happen in anything. Our founding fathers gave their lives, blood, sweat, tears, and their reputations, their homes, their families, so that we could have freedom in this country. And in your stunning documentary, Runaway Slave. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Reverend C.L. Bryant. You can go to www.runawayslavethemovie.com to download this, to purchase it. It's playing in theaters across the country. This is an eye-opener for every American, not just black Americans. What do you hope to accomplish with The Runaway Slave, and how much time do you think it will take to change the mindset?
It is a mindset that has a foundation that will take quite some time to crack and crush. However, the plans for reordering our thinking are laid in this particular work, and it is one that we certainly believe will allow us to go onto college campuses and schools and churches and show the film, and then have focus groups on what has been seen. This is what we would like to do with it. Since many did not go to the theaters around the country, who we really wanted to see this film, the choir was there. I mean, you know, conservatives and Tea Partiers. And may I say that I was proud to be a Tea Partier in 2009 when I spoke before that 1.5 million that gathered in Washington. And I'm proud to be a Tea Partier today. And so that is something that I pray will also come out, is that the liberal media has been very unfair to a group of patriots here in this country. And I would never have associated with anyone who was racist or anything of that nature. We are all free men, salt of the earth, as Jesus said.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to C.L. Bryant, Reverend C.L. Bryant, star of the stunning documentary Runaway Slave. It's really his story. You can learn more about this movement across the nation by going to www.themovierunawayslave.com. Reverend Bryant, thank you so much for being with us. Keep up your courageous work. God bless you, and thank you for all you're doing for our country and our freedom today. Thank you.
God bless and keep you both. Talk to you soon.
Testimony is a global broadcast made possible by the generous contributions of our valued partners at Jensine Bard Ministries and you, our listening audience. Together, we are reaching souls for Christ, one testimony at a time. If you would like information on how you can support this broadcast with your tax-deductible gift, please visit us at jensinebard.com. That's one word, jensinebard.com. And join the conversation at our Facebook page, Testimony with Jensine Bard. Thank you for listening, and please join us again for Testimony.